This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Hour number two. I just checked my phone, and this name had been written down at the bottom of my little chart here, my show page. Mm-hmm. Very unofficial show page. A lot of chicken scratch from the rooster. And it says, Jags will cut Christian Kirk.
Look at you.
And I didn't mention it in hour number one, and then I look at my phone, and I have a text from you.
That you do.
You want me to give them the fans out your number so that they can get these text and timely updates from you?
I'll up to your discretion.
The Jaguars are planning. This has been like reported and rumored for 2 weeks, and it hasn't happened yet. But Ari Myrov is basically saying the Jags are planning to cut. Oh, I guess it's through Schefter, planning indeed to release Christian Kirk per Schefter, clearing $10.5 million worth of salary cap space. Again, a long awaited move. So there you have that. AA also mentioned that as well, so I want to make sure give him a tip over the cap. The NFL breaking news that we forgot to deliver when we came back for the short little segment at the end of the hour is Max Crosby getting a new contract. $35.5 million per year.
Pretty good.
Passing Nick Bosa at $34 million. Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, Micah Parsons all still need long-term deals, or all still expected to get long-term deals. And Max Crosby has put out a video of him making a bunch of plays, and he makes a lot of them, saying, committed to excellence, committed to silver and black, limitless. All right, good for Max Crosby that he's committed to the Raiders enough. Now, it's kind of easy to get committed when they're paying you and willing to pay you $35 million a year.
Makes it a lot easier.
Makes it a lot easier to kind of tolerate things. But I'm sure he's like semi-rejuvenated, right? Pete Carroll has a way about him. You know, they got a new GM. Tom Brady, obviously, is very involved there, right? So I'm sure they sold him on that. Don't forget, they signed Christian Wilkins, formerly of the Dolphins, a good interior defensive tackle, to a big-ass contract last year. It didn't work out because of injury, but they've got the beginnings, and Pete, obviously, is a very aggressive defensive mind. They got the beginnings of a very good, and again, it should be pointed out, right, not the only one, but the most likely one from the Commanders that could wind up in Vegas is not Marcus Mariota, as some have mentioned. Marcus Mariota has already been there, done that in Vegas. Not to say that he can't go back, because again, it is a different regime, but it's not that for me. It's Bobby Wagner, of course. And the question is going to be, with Crosby in the fold, again, with Wilkins, as we mentioned, with Pete Carroll and John Spytek and Tom Brady, can they convince Bobby Wagner, hey, man, we'll give you 2 years mostly guaranteed, as opposed to what they want to give you, which is probably, you know, 1 year fully guaranteed or somewhere along the lines, you know, a bump up from what he signed for last year, 1 year, $6 million, and maybe a second kind of so-called dummy or void year or whatever, option year or something like that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So, I mean, again, Christian Kirk is the move that a lot of people have been waiting on because he played for Cliff Kingsbury. Now, one thing that I will always say, and that we don't know, is just because somebody was together somewhere else and had some moderate success doesn't mean that they like each other, right? Doesn't mean that Cliff Kingsbury is a big fan of Christian Kirk. We just have no idea. And if you ask Cliff Kingsbury on the record or off the record, he wouldn't answer. Right, so we don't know. Like literally, we did not know for sure that Adam Peters was a big Deebo Samuel guy until he acquired Deebo Samuel. We thought so. Didn't know so, right? Didn't know. What if Kyle Shanahan really liked Deebo? Which he did. And Adam Peters was like, I kind of think he's tailed off the last 3 years. I wasn't that impressed by X, Y, and Z behind the scenes. You know? I mean, you just never know. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get back to it. Talking De'Ami Brown. And who do you want paired with Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin? Is it De'Ami Brown? Or has he priced himself out? Is it Christian Kirk? Is it DK Metcalf who wants a trade? Is it Tyler Lockett who is getting released from Seattle? Is it somebody else? I keep saying my dark horse is the dude from Buffalo, Mac Hollins. He just seems like a commander to me. His skill set matches some of what they do, yes, but he just seems like a commander to me. And I don't know if I'm wrong on that. All right, let's get to D.C., Calvert County. What up, D.C.? How are you, pal?
Russ, I'm excellent, man. How are you?
I am doing great. Good to hear from you, as always.
Yes, indeed. You see the voice is doing a little better today.
I did notice that. Yeah, that is correct. I forgot about that from yesterday. I'm a big sore throat spray guy. Like, you know, the Chloraseptic they make them non-name brand. A lot of people hate that. But I'm a big sore throat spray guy. Even if I don't have a sore throat, it generally like kind of numbs the hoarseness, if you will. Did you use anything or no?
No, I didn't use anything. I did a little lemon and honey, but that's it.
Attaboy. Attaboy. All natural. Look at you, DC. All natural.
That's right. That's right. But as far as De'Ami, I wouldn't pay De'Ami more than $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that Christian Kirk came available. I think they play a similar style. I don't know how much Christian Kirk wants to garner, but I would go that direction if De'Ami wants to go over the $10 million mark. But I wouldn't trade for DK Metcalf. I wouldn't trade for any more wide receivers.
Right.
I would look at free agency. I also like the guy from out of Tennessee, Nick Westbrook.
Akinan, yep.
You have to
wonder. Now, he was disappointing for me down the stretch, right? But what I don't know, because I didn't watch Tennessee closely enough outside of when they were here, and even then I'm busy during the game, so I'm not focusing necessarily on them, is after he went on like an 8-touchdown and 8-game stretch, he was invisible once I picked him up, I think right before the Commanders game, and I was like, oh, this guy's going to have a monster breakout, you know, rest of the year, and then he did diddly poo. He did nothing.
Well, you got to remember, he didn't have a
quarterback.
I know. Quarterback,
there's so many guys, and I agree. Listen, I really like the DK option before the Deebo Samuel deal. As I told Ben Conti at Fat Poet 10, I said, I brought it up, right, as an option because he's in the news, right? And people are going to be naturally enamored with his size and speed. And even though it's been, I would say, a little bit of inconsistent production, I guess is how I would describe it, for his size and speed. Again, we don't know if that's quarterback related. We don't know if that's, you know, play call related. But I agree with you. Christian Kirk seems to be, as long as Cliff has a high regard for his ability as a route runner, his ability, his work ethic, his blocking ability, and that stuff for me right now is hard to track until I plug in a lot more tape and get and find a lot more time that I don't have. But I know as a receiver, he can run outside, inside. He generally, I think, is pretty shorthanded and still has speed.
Indeed. But DK can also be a headache. Debo, I don't think Debo as much as a headache as he is a competitor. DK seems like he can be a headache if he doesn't get the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of receivers are, quite honestly, diva pain in the asses. Quite honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's not that uncommon. And, you know, on this team, and listen, that's why I kind of brought up yesterday that, hey, Debo Samuel's already requested a trade twice in his career. Twice in his career. So be careful about what you're bringing in here. And obviously, Adam Peters, right, knowing him, fine. But John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, he sung the praises routinely of Kyle Shanahan and still wanted out. Sometimes just because you know a guy, sometimes because you drafted a guy or you were around a guy for 3, 4, or 5 years, whatever it might be, doesn't mean that he won't still be a pain in the ass and that he won't want, you know, a fresh start. So we will see. DC, I appreciate you, man. Glad you're feeling better. Let's move along let's go to Mark in Springfield here. What up, Mark? How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to the hardest working man in sports talk radio.
My guy, I keep telling you this. I wish I was as hardworking as you think I am, but I try. I give it the old college try, but I don't know. I'm losing a little bit of steam on that fastball, but I appreciate you as always.
I like the Metcalf trade. I also want the Myles Garrett trade. So my suggestion is some combination thereof. You take our first-round pick this year, our first-round pick next year, and a, let's say a fifth- or a sixth-round draft this year and next year, and package them with Payne and Allen. Make them a team. I think Allen's still got a little bit left. He was injured this year. I think Payne.
Wait, as part of you're talking about the Myles Garrett. You're talking about for Myles Garrett, correct?
Well, I'm talking about a combination for both of them. I think you take some combination thereof. Let's say Payne in the first round and a fifth round, and try and get Myles Garrett.
Well,
in some
part,
way,
yeah, but part of the problem too, and this is why Jonathan Allen is so easy to move and Daron Payne isn't, is because of the dead cap money. Now, again, not everybody worries about dead cap money like I do, but $25 million of dead cap money against your salary cap and no value for it, to me, is a hard pill to swallow. Even though they got cap room, you know.
Well, go ahead and keep some of it. Go ahead and pay some of it. I think it pays now to get something in return that's going to be worthwhile and a known product instead of relying on draft picks. You're going to free up some cap money. The cap's going up anyway. So take a hit this year if you have to on some of it. Don't eat all of it, but entice them enough to basically make it a package. I think through free agency and even the draft, you can get a couple of defensive linemen that I think could play at least as well as Payne and Allen, because I think both of them are past their prime. Even Payne, he got the big contract, and I don't want to say he wasn't worth it, but I think his return has diminished a little bit. And see what you can do. Spend the big money, but bring in some game changers. I think Myles Garrett is a team changer. I think that Metcalf is a game changer. So don't be penny ante, pound foolish. Let's make some big moves and let's get something done this year.
I hear you, Mark. You know, I wish it was that easy, but I understand what you're trying to get at. Appreciate you as always. I think maybe I worry too much about dead cap space or dead cap money. I will admit that. I'm notoriously frugal. Like, I don't mind spending money. I just want something in return for my money. It's part of the reason why I'm not a big gambler is because I don't think there's enough return. You know, there's not enough value. Now, I would also say I'm not a $50 per, you know, a steak person, or very rarely. I mean, I've been to, you know, the fine steakhouses in my life. But to say that I've regularly been there, no, that wouldn't be true. I'm much more of an Outback guy, you know, or something along those lines where it's a little elevated, but it's not super elevated, if that makes sense. 301-230. As a matter of fact, I was at Outback Steakhouse in Canton, Wehio, on Friday night with the Youngins. Great dinner as always. Appreciate that. And no, I paid, but you know, I always enjoy the Outback. Good restaurant, always has been. I wish they would sponsor me. 301-230-0980. I'll give you some more on Christian Kirk coming up. And again, we started this by acknowledging what we've been saying for weeks and what everybody go, Matthew Berry said, De'Ami Brown's not coming back because he's priced himself out of the market. Well, you've been listening to this show. You knew that. Again, we say things way far in advance of all the networked insiders, and then everybody goes, Ian Rappaport said this, when we've been saying it for weeks. That's why you got to listen to this show. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Isn't this what you do during free agency?
Yeah, pretty much.
Take the bag and run, baby. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how good you think or Spotrac thinks you are or Over the Cap or Pete Prisco. If somebody's willing to bring you the bag of cash, you take it and run.
That's right.
Doesn't matter whether you win a championship or not. What matters is if you have money for the rest of however long your life is.
And then your kid's life,
exactly.
And then their kid's life,
and so on. That's a legacy, people. Now, if you can win a championship and have that kind of money, obviously that's even better. Christian Kirk, listen, for those of you that have not followed Christian Kirk's career, and I haven't closely other than, you know, just you know, when you see him pop up on Red Zone or on highlights or whatever, 93 games played, 93 games played. Former second round pick. He's only 5'11", 200. So if you think, like, if Christian Kirk's the guy that they go after, to think that they're getting a big guy, that's not the case. I'm not saying he's diminutive, but he's not 6'3 and 220. Okay. The biggest problem for any pursuit of Christian Kirk is you already have a situation with Deebo Samuel where you don't know if he's going to be right 100% or close to 100% of the time. You don't want to call him injury prone? Fine. That's up to you. But he's missed a couple of games in every year, and he missed a bunch of games in 2020, which granted was a while ago, but there are a lot of concerns, right? Fair, unfair, whatever. You have to go and approach it as, you know, look, there's a possibility that you're not going to have Deebo Samuel for anything more than like 15 out of 17 games. And some of you might say, that's fine. That's totally good. As long as he performs like he did in 2021. Well, what if he doesn't? And what if it's 12 out of 17 games? That you don't know. You just don't know. And neither do they. But Kirk, here's what I would say about that is not only are you not getting a big-bodied type, but you're also getting another guy that's been injury prone over his career. Broken collarbone last year, only played 8 games. They play 17 nowadays. He only played 12 games in his first year in Jacksonville. He did play 17 games in his first year, the year that they won the division. He was great. 1,108 yards, 17 games, 84 catches, 13-2, 8 touchdowns. That was, you know, Trevor Lawrence's only good year in the NFL. That was Doug Peterson, right? I mean, okay. He played in 17 his last year in Arizona under Cliff. 14, 13, and 12 the 3 years before that. Again, those were 16-game seasons. So do you want two injury-prone guys basically at the same position? Because if you, say, invest whatever it costs with Christian Kirk, after what you've already done with Deebo Samuel, right? Is it possible that both guys could miss, I don't know, a handful of games? Whatever, a handful of games. Yeah, it's more than possible. And it's probably likely. So keep that in mind. 301, you know, but I also understand the kid's a good player. Young man's a good player. I'm not telling you I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying you have to be cautious while not being able to exactly predict the future. Because there's nobody alive on planet Earth, including them, that thought Zach Ertz was going to stay healthy for 20 games basically last year. Nobody. Nobody could have thought that. Not based on his track record. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What's up, Lou? How are you?
What's going on, Rooster?
What's shaking, Lou?
Man? How about yourself?
How are you? What's going on?
Hey, man, first and foremost, I cannot stand Cena. He make wrestling so slow, and he's just so fake nowadays. He's just too old, and for him to turn heel is just, it's just a horrible thing. But it is what it is. As far as
I don't think he's that slow.
He is, man. Yes, he is. I've seen a couple matches. He's just not him. You know.
Well, he's also 40 something years old. I mean, you know, like, you know.
Yeah. I get you. But look, as far as the receivers core go, man, I'm letting Deami go. I'll keep McCaffrey unless they want to trade him for, you know, the guy from Seattle, if they could find a way to get him, and then that'd be a plus, and ship out Jonathan Allen or De'Ron Payne to get another receiver, another top-notch receiver. I think it will solidify the receiver. You don't even have to worry about drafting a receiver. You could address, you know, the defensive line here or now, because I think that's what they need to do from now on, because I think you know, you got Deebo already, but you know, it'd be nice to have another receiver, like a speedy guy, and you know, they got McCaff. McCaff, I think he's decent, so I think, you know, he can come in and bully around the, you know, these Philadelphia and Cowboys. So I would love if they could find a way to get him. It'd be a plus. But other than that, man, I think I'll make it simple and short today. That's all I wanted to say, Chris. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I hate John Cena. I don't like him. And
who do you hate more, John Cena or Benjamin St. Juice?
Oh, man. That's a good one.
That's why they don't pay me the big bucks, Lou.
I'll go with Benjamin St. Juice. I don't know why. Is he still on the team, or is he cut, or what, man? What's going on with him?
Who, St. Juice?
He unfollowed the team on Instagram. So
St. Juice did?
Yeah.
He's a free agent. He knows he's not coming back.
Chris, you agree with me. That guy is horrible.
Well, he's not horrible. He's just not good enough, period.
He's buns.
Yeah. He's not good enough. He's not horrible. He's just not good enough. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. We've got more breaking news. How about this?
Man.
Busy NFL.
It doesn't
NFL
stop today.
Day. How about this? We got to get it to you right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. When we return, I want to get into the Marcus Mariota situation. And I think a decent conversation can be had.
For sure.
I want to see what Mad Max thinks. I want to see what you think. 301-230-0980. But first, we start with Cowboy quarterback news. So a day after clearing about $20 million of cap space for C.D. Lamb with a restructure, today the Cowboys, who waited far too long, paid Dak Prescott $60 million a year. On average, they have restructured his contract to create $36.6 million worth of cap space, according to ESPN. They converted a $45.5 million base salary into a signing bonus, reducing his cap figure from nearly $90 million this year to $53.29 million. So the two-day savings, in case you're keeping score for the Cowboys, is about 56.6. Now, people are out there going to say, see, you can do whatever you want with the salary cap. You can do whatever you want. People, trust me, you got to pay for it at some point. You got to pay for it at some point. With void years and restructures, you've got to pay for it at some point. You might be able to dodge a bullet here and there. You got to pay for it at some point. Other NFL news, we told you 29-year-old and Cincinnati native Sam Hubbard retiring after seven seasons with the Bengals, his hometown team. And again, that kind of adds to some of their defensive questions as they look at Trey Hendrickson about a year away from free agency and everything that they have to deal with his career. If he stays retired, ended with a torn PCL, ironically, on his first career reception and his first and only touchdown, a 2-yard touchdown catch against the Tennessee Titans for Sam Hubbard, again, 29 years old and retiring. And as we mentioned throughout the show, Seahawks with a bunch of things going on at wide receiver. First, they are releasing Tyler Lockett, who spent 10 years in Seattle, and DK Metcalf wants a trade, according to Adam Schefter. Capitals in New York at Madison Square Garden tonight, 7:30, the faceoff. You can hear the coverage, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, beginning at 7:15 as they take on the Rangers, do the Capitals. And right here on the Team 980, we have Maryland Terrapins basketball beginning at 6 o'clock after a shortened Craig Hoffman show in Ann Arbor against the Michigan Wolverines. Jazz and Wizards on Bloomberg 99.1 beginning at 6:45, and that's what's trending. By the way, the numbers on Max Crosby's extension that we mentioned a little bit ago, 3 years, $106.5 million. 91.5 million guaranteed, according to ESPN. He had 2 years left on his 4-year extension that he signed in 2022. Had a scheduled base salary of $22.2 million upcoming, $18.8 million in 2026. However, no guaranteed money. So as you do, or as you have to do with some of these great players, is you got to give them the guaranteed money, right? Which, I mean, the money would have been essentially guaranteed anyway, because I'm guessing, right, base salary. I mean, he was, I guess it's not guaranteed, because I guess theoretically they could have moved on from Max Crosby after this year, but they weren't. I mean, Max Crosby is going to get paid, was going to get paid. But now there's no questions, right? It's an extension. It's presumably 5 more years under term with the Raiders, presumably. Listen, Max Crosby is a maniac. And Pete Carroll and their new GM, John Spytek, like, I think we talked to, did we talk about them before the Max Crosby deal? Like, I can't remember. No, I guess it was after the Max Crosby deal. But when you're dealing with Pete Carroll, the new GM, Spytek, who's respected, and Tom Brady, right? I mean, that's how you build kind of a franchise. Not everything fits every organization. Like, a lot of people were out on Dan Quinn. See how that worked. A lot of people are going to scoff at Pete Carroll. I'm not telling you it's going to work definitively. I mean, obviously going to see what they come up with at quarterback. But you got Max Crosby. You got Christian Wilkins. They just signed Alex Kappa today, who was released by the Bengals. You know, pretty good guard there. I mean, it's clearly they're making some moves. Now I got to figure out the quarterback situation. And ironically, they made a move at quarterback, or they're going to make a move, and that's to release Gardner Minshew, who had signed with the previous regime a 2-year, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed, won the starter job barely over Aiden O'Connell. Remember, he was so good in the year before in Indianapolis. Got the contract, 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, only played 10 games, got injured, didn't come back, and Vegas was terrible. So now they're moving on from Gardner Minshew, which means not only, look, the Raiders not only need a backup quarterback, but they need a backup and a starter in all likelihood. I mean, Aiden O'Connell, I guess, is the backup, I guess, but Whether that comes in free agency or whether that comes more likely in the draft, who knows? In terms of how they address that. But I would presume it's more likely the big swing is probably going to be in the draft, right? Now you say, well, okay, where do they pick? Sixth. Decent chance that either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders could drop to them. But I wouldn't count on it, like if you're them, right? If your plan is, well, one of those guys is going to fall, good luck. Now, if you're of the thought, hey, man, Tennessee is dangling that number one pick. We can control the draft. We can make an aggressive move that we tried to make for Jaden Daniels last year. Under different circumstances, let's go up and make that move. Here's the problem. Number one, a lot of times those moves don't work. Number two, there is no clear cut. Like, I think most people think Cam Ward is going to be the better NFL quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. But there is no clear cut, like, absolute surefire way that I know of. I mean, unless, again, Tom Brady knows obviously a lot more than all of us, unless he's clearly identified and has a magic crystal ball that I don't know about, where he has a surefire, no doubt about it, quarterback of the two. Good luck. Okay. So whether you sit at six or whether you move up, or whatever you do. I mean, and there's all sorts of rumors about Tennessee dangling that pick. And that makes sense for them too, right? They're not one player away. They're not one franchise quarterback away. And is there a franchise quarterback in this draft? Or are there just good quarterbacks in this draft? That's what I think. It's more likely that there are good quarterbacks, not franchise-changing quarterbacks. But we'll see what Vegas does. But here's the point. They're going to move on from Marcus Mariota. Again, they have Aiden O'Connell. Okay. I don't think Marcus Mariota is going back to Vegas, but could I see Justin Fields signing with Vegas and competing with Aiden O'Connell for the starting job? And maybe they stay at six. They can't get a deal done before free agency. They sign Justin Fields. All right, we got Justin Fields. We got Aiden O'Connell. Now let's see how the chips fall. And if there's a quarterback that's still that we like, Cam or Shedeur, we'll take him at six. But we're not moving up. Who knows? You might be asking, well, what about Russell Wilson? Here's what I don't know.
What about Russ Cook?
Remember, you got Chip Kelly, who's now the offensive coordinator there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't absolutely dismiss Marcus Mariota, because remember who was Marcus Mariota's college head coach at Oregon. Okay? So I shouldn't automatically dismiss it, but to me, it just, what they're looking for doesn't necessarily scream bridge quarterback, but I could be wrong. But could Russell Wilson cook in Vegas? The answer for me is no. I don't think he's a great fit in Chip Kelly's system. And he hated when Russ was good. When Russ was good, or very good, he hated playing for Pete Carroll. He wouldn't tell you that publicly. Trust me, he did. He thought Pete Carroll was way too conservative, way too run-oriented, way too stodgy. Now, again, maybe Chip Kelly, obviously, you know, Pete looked around and said, I've got to get somebody that knows more about offense, you know, than I do, that somebody that's a little bit more free willing. I mean, we just have to. Okay. Well, I don't think it's Russell Wilson, just because he played under Pete Carroll and had a lot of success in Seattle. Again, can't rule it out because Russ has fallen on hard times, right? He's no longer probably the diva that he once was becoming 3 years ago, when he was absolutely sick of Pete Carroll. But I would say, like, for me, if I'm the Raiders, who heavily went after Stafford, you know, again, a Justin Fields type situation feels about right, even though, again, that could be considered a bridge. He's still young enough to not to say he's not absolutely a bridge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's not 31, 32. Like, right now, Gardner Minshew, who's just going to get released, that's a bridge. That's a bridge quarterback. Matthew Stafford was not a bridge quarterback for the Vegas Raiders when they were going after him. Marcus Mariota probably would be considered a bridge quarterback, right? So Gardner Minshew. And that brings us to this. Is Marcus Mariota, who was widely considered a great influence in the quarterback room, in the building, a great mentor to Jaden Daniels, very good when you asked to play specifically against Carolina for much of the game.
And the Dallas game.
And the Dallas game in the second half, winning that game again for the 12th win. Is Marcus Mariota a must re-sign here? And like the answer might be, yeah, duh, no bleep, Sherlock. Of course he is. But is he? I mean, just because he's a great influence on Jaden Daniels, and just because he played really well the couple of times that you asked him to play, and just because, you remember, like, guys like Linnell hated Mariota because they watched a documentary. The fingers were pointing, you know, a bunch of buzzards on the internet were reporting, oh, he quit on his team in Atlanta when he lost the starting job. Oh, what a bad character. What a bad seed. And I got to be honest with you. I've never been a huge Mariota fan as a quarterback. I think he takes too many sacks, injured a lot, inconsistent. I know he's mobile. I know he's got a good enough arm, what have you. But as a pure backup, not a potential starter, because even though they treated him as a potential starter early in camp and through the offseason, Mariota was never really going to be the starter unless Jaden was so far behind. But he signed last year, or he had a cap number, basically, between the roster bonuses and the signing bonus, of $6 million. What if Marcus Mariota and his side say, you know what? There's so many bad quarterback situations out there. Giants, Pittsburgh, Vegas. Trying to think of where else. Indianapolis. Right? Bad quarterback situation there.
Yeah.
What if, with those four teams, I want to not only hit the open market, but I think I can get $10 million. And before you go, well, that's absurd, that's ridiculous, remember, Gardner Minshew last year, who I would say is not anything, I don't know, maybe I'm diminishing Gardner Minshew a little bit. I wouldn't say he's clearly ahead of Marcus Mariota in terms of a backup to bridge, fringe, starting quarterback, veteran who can play and win some games. And if you don't ask him to do too much, like, I mean, Gardner Minshew's been fine, but he got 2 years, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed from a desperate organization.
Hey,
and guess what? It didn't work out.
He could get it again. The Giants are one team that I just... Like, they should be in on this Marcus Mariota thing, but they won't.
They could be, is the point.
I don't think they're smart enough to, though. Maybe not.
But you know what? If you're Brian Daboll, and if you're, I mean, Tommy DeVito's a free agent.
They have no quarterback.
Right. Drew Locke is a free agent.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Tim Boyle.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, they have nobody under contract. Right? Clearly, they're probably the most likely team to move up to number one to control the draft and to take one of these quarterbacks. But neither here nor there, they would still presumably need, and everyone is going to kind of look at, oh, look at how it worked out in Washington with Jaden Daniels. Look, and Marcus Mariota was such a good influence. So if you have the Giants, if you have Pittsburgh, if you have Vegas again, and he was in Vegas before coming here, but now it's Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator, right? So you reinvigorate that situation. Mm-hmm. Am I forgetting any other teams? There's at least four teams, I would think.
The Jets.
Oh, yeah, the Jets. Yeah, who's their quarterback?
Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
Who they apparently tried to screw over on his rehab, according to his agent.
Yeah.
But the point being is you got four or five teams that are jockeying for a potential starting quarterback or a fringe starter, i.e. Marcus Mariota. But now Marcus Mariota has roses and perfume attached to him.
Oh, plenty of it.
That Gardner Minshew probably doesn't have.
For sure not.
That, look, I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a job if he wants to play. But, I mean, we know there's a lot of stenchy, weird stuff there. So maybe you knock out one of those teams. But my point being is, Mariota's probably going to get a bag for $9 or $10 million for 1 year. And maybe he gets... maybe not a 2-year, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed like Minshew deal, but maybe he gets 2 years and $20
million
with $12 million guaranteed, which is probably more than the Commanders would want to pay. I can't say definitively, but the point being is I don't think Marcus Mariota is absolutely going to be here like most people think, number one. And number two, quite honestly, if he costs that much, is he a must re-sign? We'll get Mad Max's thoughts more specifically on that, and we'll get your thoughts on that. We'll continue the conversation at 301-230-0980 on the other side, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. How do we populate Twitter, X, Twix, with more GIFs of Commanders players? How does that happen?
Because
I never can find one when I need one. I did find one of Diami Brown earlier, but he's been with the Commanders for 4 years. Marcus Mariota, there's none. There's just Oakland, the Raiders, the Titans, they're, you know, teams that he has had some moderate success with. There's just no GIFs of, you know, I like to put up a GIF with the show tweet. Hey, we're talking about Marcus Mariota. Come and join us. Mm-hmm. But I can't put up, and I don't have a picture of him that I own the rights to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... because my brother works at Barstool, and they upload a lot of their gifts to X and Twitter, so they can use them all the time. So
what does your brother do at Barstool? I didn't know.
He's a producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He and I were kind of in the same vein.
Hmm. Interesting. Does he like it?
Oh, he loves it. He's having a blast.
Let me ask you a dumb question. Do you have to be an arrogant, insufferable, over the top?
No, you don't.
Person?
No.
To work there? Or
no, a lot of very nice people there.
Okay.
I toured the office, met a few people, shook a few hands.
That's the outside view
correct.
That I have.
Yeah. No, I get that for sure.
I don't know any of those guys. I didn't.
They're all good dudes.
Okay. Interesting.
I like them.
Interesting. We're asking if Marcus Mariota is a must re-sign. Again, that's a different question than a should they re-sign him? The answer to that is yes.
Of course.
Would you like to have him back? The answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
But Max, if I said to you again, and I'm just kind of sort of making up a contract, but using the Gardner Minshew Oakland Vegas contract as just kind of a barometer, if I said, you know, 2 years, $20 million, I put this up as 2 years, $20 million, $13 million fully guaranteed. So again, he 1 year, $6 million guaranteed last year here in Washington. 2 years, $20 million, $13 million guaranteed, basically doubling that, and then some. Is that worth it to the Commanders?
I mean, isn't that? I feel like that's pretty damn close to what Jaden Daniels makes.
Well, it'd be more than Jaden Daniels makes.
So I just based on that alone, I don't really know if I can pay my backup quarterback that much money when my starting quarterback is making 15 or 14 over the next like 5 years.
Yeah.
I could very well see the Commanders getting priced out given all these quarterback needy teams mm-hmm. that are on the market. So at that contract, I'd probably be a no. Yeah, Jaden's making 8.5.
Yeah.
This next year. Yeah, I'm just not convinced that there are Like, I'd be fine with Jeff Driskel backing up Jaden Daniels.
We should say Jaden's cap number is 8.5. He's that's from the signing bonus, obviously, the proration, which is $6+ million. His base salary, not that anybody's feeling bad for Jaden Daniels, is nearly $1 million. But yeah, I mean that's the now again, maybe the market is not going to be as ripe, but if real quickly, I would take Marcus Mariota over Justin Fields. I would take Marcus Mariota over Russell Wilson. I would take him. I would sign him and not deal with Aaron Rodgers, even though I know Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback, just to not have to deal with Aaron Rodgers.
Is he the better quarterback?
I mean, he's better than Drew Lock. He's better than Tommy Cutlets. He's better than, all these jabronis, Gardner Minshew.
He's Jags.
Yeah. Not the Jacksonville Jags.
No.
Jags.
Just a guy.
301-230-0980. Is Marcus Mariota must re-sign? That the question. A little bit more on this coming into the 3 o'clock hour. One final hour to go on a rainy Wednesday in the DMV and beyond on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.